You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Today's show is brought to you courtesy of our friends and sponsors over at Vivid Seats. As we chat this Wednesday evening, it's the second day of training camp for the Rockets over in Lake Charles, Louisiana. They're gearing up for their preseason opener next Tuesday against the Memphis Grizzlies in Birmingham, Alabama, and then the opening of the regular season a couple of weeks after that at home against the New Orleans Pelicans. So to prepare us for the opening of preseason and everything that's going to happen throughout the season, I'm joined by a frequent guest. He's the voice of the Rockets and the guy that's going to be behind the microphone on many of those games. That's Craig Ackerman, who you know from AT&T Sports at Southwest and also the Rockets Radio Network. Craig, how's it going, my friend? How's the final week of your freedom?
Well, I always have freedom, but it's going well. I'm really excited for the start of the season. I was pumped to have media day come and go to start a training camp, and really looking forward to the beginning of these preseason games next week.
Craig, one of the little tidbits we've gotten from those in Lake Charles, it's been reported by a couple of folks, I think first today by Tim McMahon of ESPN, that Mike D'Antoni is leaning or at least strongly considering the idea of starting Eric Gordon at the three spot, bringing Carmelo Anthony and James Ennis off the bench. I'm curious your thoughts on that. To me, it's something that has been in the back of my mind for a while. I think maybe the Rockets were pleasantly surprised by just how well that three-guard lineup fared against the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. Of course, they finished games that way. Gordon had the biggest shots in both Game 4 and Game 5. And then once Trevor Ariza departed and there wasn't just a natural automatic fit at the three spot, you start to think more innovation and ahead of the curve. That's something that Mike D'Antoni has always done. And even though it's small, when you look at their ratings, albeit in the small sample size last year with that three-guard lineup, it held up very well offensively, certainly, but even defensively, it was solid. So your thoughts on the idea of them going in that direction?
Well, I mean, look, Eric Gordon is obviously a terrific shooter, a very good offensive player, but he's a very underrated defender as well. He's thick, he's strong. It doesn't surprise me. And they can go. I think Mike D'Antoni mentioned at media day that they have a bunch of. They have a lot of levers that they can pull, and this would be one of them. They can go any number of ways at that three spot, if you will. And obviously, James, Chris, Clint, and PJ are basically locks to be in that starting lineup, and then they can go any number of directions if they wanted to. Perhaps they could slide PJ to the three and put Carmelo at the four. They could start James Ennis at the three. I mean, they could start Eric Gordon. I mean, they can go a variety of different ways. It's a matter of just figuring out what ultimately is best going forward, how they can sort of stagger the minutes, if you will, from their top four scorers and Chris, James, Eric, and Carmelo Anthony to give them ample opportunities to get up enough shots to be able to create enough offense both individually and for the team. And as you mentioned, and the sample size that James, Chris, and Eric spent with each other on the floor last year, they crushed it. And so if that was the case last year, they would be foolish not to at very minimum experiment with it again and perhaps maybe bigger sample sizes this year. But look, the team has a ton of talent, and I think especially in Eric's case, he's proven that whether he's a starting caliber player without a doubt, but he's accepted a bench role here at the Rockets, and he's thrived in it in each of his two seasons in Houston. And so if he continues to come off the bench, great. If they put him in the starting lineup, I think that will work as well. It's a good problem for this team to have.
Along that same vein, it certainly seems like the majority of the evidence is pointing towards Carmelo Anthony coming off the bench. You mentioned media day. He was asked plenty about whether he would come off the bench after the whole who me saga from Oklahoma City Media Day a year ago. He didn't shoot it down, ultimately said he would do whatever was needed for the team to win a championship. And it just looks like to me thus far, you're seeing various pairings. One of the rationales I heard for Eric Gordon starting at the three was then you could pair Carmelo Anthony with James Ennis coming off the bench, a dynamic defender to kind of help mitigate Melo's liabilities on that side. I know they say nothing is decided, but Craig, it certainly seems like to me that barring a major surprise on the floor, it sounds like that six-man role that maybe previously went to Eric Gordon seems to be at the moment slated for Carmelo Anthony.
It certainly seems that way. I mean, I don't know what your interpretation was. I mean, I think he said all the right things at Media Day, but I still got the sense that he absolutely wants to be a starter. But yeah. I think part of this process with the Rockets when they courted him over the course of the summer for the second time, because remember, he was sort of the apple of their free agent eye about 5 years ago. You know, as long as the organization was up front with him, saying, look, there's probably a good possibility you'll come off the bench. This is what kind of a role we have, you know, envisioned for you. I think as long as they were up front with him, and as much as he may even still be reluctant to do so, if that line of communication remains open and they can show him a path to where they think they could make him most successful, then I think ultimately, you know, he'll accept and thrive in that role. I think Carmelo's going to be very good here. I will admit I am still very curious to see how he fits with the team in terms of their switching defensive identity, because I think you're going to lose something in that. But I think Carmelo's fit here on the offensive of the floor is going to be seamless. And again, whether he starts or he doesn't start, whether that bothers him or doesn't bother him necessarily, as long as he and the organization had the lines of communication open, they're both willing and able to find the best ways for both he and the team to succeed, then I ultimately don't think it's going to matter. But yeah, I think if you paired him with James Ennis, who, by the way, I think is going to be a tremendous addition to this team. He's one of those guys that I've always felt was going to be a really good fit here before they got him, much like it was, in my opinion, to P.J. Tucker before he arrived last season. I think James Ennis is going to surprise a lot of people. He's big, he's athletic, he's long, he can knock down the corner three. I think he's going to thrive with this group and really help alleviate some of the pain, if you will, from losing both Luke and Ariza in terms of the Rockets' perimeter defense. And so I think if those two guys are paired with one another coming off the bench, and whether that's PJ at the five or maybe they go a little bit different there with maybe Marquise Chris or Danae, depending upon matchups, if they're on the floor with Clint Capella's additional rim protection, I think they're going to be just fine. I think the Rockets have enough talent and depth and versatility once again in their lineup this year to wreak a lot of havoc on both ends of the floor.
Would absolutely agree. We'll talk more in the coming minutes about the preseason lineups that the Rockets gear up for the regular season, what combinations you're likely to see, who it's important for, but for now I do want to pause and acknowledge our awesome sponsors over at Vivid Seats, because without their support, we would not be able to bring you this podcast as frequently as we do, the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. And folks, if you want to attend any of the upcoming Rockets games, be it preseason, regular season, or the eventual postseason run, or really any other entertainment event for that matter, our sponsor has you covered. Because with Vivid Seats, it's so easy for you to attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice, all at a great price. That's because Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to, and they make the buying process remarkably easy. You can sort by price or even look for seats in the specific section and row of your choice. Now, to make things even better and save even more money, Vivid Seats is giving our Locked On Rockets listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers who receive $20 off all orders of $200 or more. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app, or go to vividseats.com and then use the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off your orders of $200 or more as a new customer. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. So from the biggest concerts and games all the way down to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. So why not make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event? So folks, support our sponsors, download the app, and enter the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off your orders of $200 or more. Now, jumping back into the program, we let off the first segment discussing Eric Gordon, Carmelo Anthony, the rotations you're likely to see when the Rockets open up the preseason next Tuesday against the Grizzlies, the first of a 5-game preseason before the regular season starts for real on the 17th of October. Mike D'Antoni, with a number of new players, has a lot to sort through. And ultimately, that's what the preseason is going to be about. I certainly don't think you're going to see Chris Paul hitting the turbo button, James Harden taking the level of contact he does in the regular season. They're aware of the mileage, keeping those guys healthy. While they'll certainly play, I think, for conditioning purposes, barring any sort of injury, big picture, those two are not going to be defined by the preseason. There are some guys that theoretically could be. So in terms of what to look for, certainly the rotations are a part of the package. But in terms of individuals, two guys that jump out to me, Craig, and I want to get your take of the preseason being important for, are Marquese Chriss and Michael Carter-Williams. With Marquese Chriss, it's because you're looking at a guy who, entering his third year, the Rockets by October 31st have a decision to make whether they're going to pick up that year four option in his contract. Now, certainly on paper, he fits the bill in terms of a talented rim-running big in Mike D'Antoni's system, and he was a former lottery pick, so he's got talent. But look, through 2 years, he's largely disappointed, and if he's going to have the Rockets, a luxury tax team, pick up that option, he's got to show that he can bring something different than, say, Isaiah Hartenstein and Joe Chi, two also young bigs who know the system, or a 36-year-old Nene, who of course knows the system, but isn't as athletic. I think Chris has the potential to offer a different dimension, but he's got to show it. With Michael Carter-Williams, you're looking at the guard spot right now. We heard from Daryl Morey at Media Day that Brandon Knight out for the preseason with an infection in that surgically repaired knee. You know they're not going to push Chris Paul that hard in the preseason. There's no D'Anthony Melton after the Ryan Anderson trade. So, really, when you're looking at that guard spot, there's going to be a lot of minutes in the preseason. I'm sure some of them will go to Rob Gray. But Michael Carter-Williams, a defender the Rockets have liked for years, very long. It's obvious what his storyline is. If they can fix that hitch in his jump shot, get him to be an even average shooter, he can be very playable the same way he was the first couple of years in the NBA. The question is, have they fixed that hitch? Has he turned a corner in terms of being a passable shooter? And that's where the preseason, even though the games aren't that meaningful for individuals, they can be. So I think you're going to see Michael Carter-Williams get a lot of reps. And I think up front, I think they would love for Marquese Chriss to show them something. Those are two guys that immediately jump off the page as, you know, kind of defining moments for them these next couple of weeks over the preseason. Just curious your thoughts on them and any others that you're particularly keeping an eye on in the preseason.
Well, we'll start with Chris. He's the first guy you brought up. I mean, he certainly has the measurables, as you mentioned, ex-lottery talent. Actually, that's the case for both guys, basically. Daryl has always been willing to take gambles on talent, and he certainly has it. I mean, he did that with Terrence Williams, you know, what, heck, 6, 7, 8 years ago. Now, ultimately, you know, it didn't work out, and he's taken other gambles on who were drafted very high that ultimately didn't work out, but he's going to roll the dice on players like this. I think he certainly has the MO to sort of be a Clint Capella light, rim-running, high-screen setting, dunking, finishing big, some ability to protect the rim. In fact, Marquese Chriss has better ball-handling ability and certainly better shooting ability than Clint Capella, although I'm sure the Rockets prefer him to not use either with them. With their team, but he certainly has that skill set, something that Clint does not have. But I think, you know, in the case of, I think Nene is going to be a spot player this year against certain matchups. Obviously, last year he didn't just completely stop playing on the second night of a back-to-back. I just think the way the game is gone, and obviously Father Time rolls on for all of us, I think he's just going to sort of be a spot player against certain matchups, but I think there really is an opportunity for Marquese Chriss to sort of become a Clint Capella light, and if he can turn into that, then the Rockets have been something at the back of five spot. I know there was a lot of folks, you take a guy like Nerlens Noel, who was decent last year with Dallas, but he ended up signing, you know, with Oklahoma City this past offseason. There was a lot of hoopla surrounding Nerlens Noel as Steven Adams' backup and the potential that he could give them, and having two guys in the middle to protect the rim for a full 4 game minutes. And I think Marquese Chriss certainly has that ability. Now, he's been a very undisciplined player in his brief time in the NBA, but perhaps maybe let's hope that dealt with, had a lot to do with the fact that the system and the situation in Phoenix for the first 2 years of his NBA career were not the most conducive for player development. But I certainly think he has the tools, and I think this is a very important training camp for him, not only for this season, but for the rest of his NBA career. Michael Carter-Williams is another guy who was taken high in the draft, ended up winning Rookie of the Year. I mean, took the league by storm right off the bat when he was with the Sixers. But obviously, he is just an awful shooter, one of the worst in the league, up there with Andre Roberson. Can they fix that jumper? Can he find a way to effectively maybe even get to, say, 30% from three, the 25% career three-point shooter? I think the Rockets would take that. As you mentioned, he certainly has the size to play the point guard position. In fact, I think the Rockets ultimately, when they get that backup point guard spot solidified in some form or fashion with Brandon, and I think they might even envision Michael Carter Williams as more of a wing player than perhaps a prototypical point guard because of his length. He is very good defensively. He has had some issues in terms of his ball security in the past, but the Rockets never shy away from having their ball handlers and creators take gambles, so I think that might be conducive for him as well. And look, he's never played the system where the floor is going to be as well spaced as it's going to be here in Houston, and the ability for him, he's been a pretty good passer in his career to find open guys. I think he's got a shot to be sort of, as you mentioned, as long as Brandon Knight is out, be part of the rotation, and perhaps depending on how well he plays, maybe be a part of the rotation for some big, you know, for some good minutes off the bench in the regular season. But, I don't know what's going to happen with those two guys, but I think that's sort of the rationale with those two guys on the roster. And look, with all due respect to the Bobby Browns of the world, and you know how much I love Bobby and you too.
Same.
Always appreciate the swag Bobby keeps sending in my way. But with all due respect to Bobby, and all due respect to the Briante Webbers of the world, having guys like Brandon Knight and Michael Carter Williams as guard depth is better than anything the Rockets had last year behind Chris Paul. And so even though there might be some concerns and worries about where these guys are health-wise in the case of Knight or production-wise in the case of Michael Carter Williams, there's more talent there than they had last year and frankly in years past as well, which I think might, again, I'll still allow Eric Gordon, even though he's capable of playing on the ball, he's better playing off the ball to sort of fully settle into that and into that role. But I think those are really the two guys that really need to show things, not only for their playing time this year, but for the NBA career. And I mentioned earlier James Ennis. I think this guy is going to be an absolute great fit with this team. I really, really do. Every time he's played against the Rockets, seemingly he's played well. Last year's coming off arguably his best overall season in the league. He's going to have, much like Carmelo Anthony, who has apparently been used to this in his career, he's going to have a ton of open looks at threes, particularly in the corner, and I think he's going to settle real nicely into that role. And again, it would not shock me if he's not the starter at the three for the Rockets. I think he's going to be that good for the team this season. And then I think some of the other younger guys like Hartenstein, I think the Rockets really like him and Joe Chi, but I don't think they're ready to contribute in any form or fashion this season. And, you know, ultimately, Mr. Houston, Gerald Green, the guy who's just happy to be here, he's truly happy to be here, but having him on the team, accepting that role and being a go-to guy if they need to off the bench to provide some scoring punch, I think is a nice luxury for this team to have. But I think ultimately it's about James and Chris, particularly Chris, staying healthy this season, especially when it comes to money time in the postseason, as they were just basically his injury away from going to the finals. And I think the depth on this team is probably better than it was last year because, heck, when the Rockets were in the playoffs, they were forced to play 6.5 guys because Ryan Anderson wouldn't shoot. And Luke Bahamute had the shoulder problem and he couldn't get a layup. Then he stopped shooting and they both were basically unplayable in the playoffs. And so I think as deep as the team was last year, they might have some better quality depth with this team this season.
As we wrap up the program, I want to go back to Media Day. That's something you led off. I know I saw you there in all of your white belt glory on Monday.
That white belt rocked. They just don't. The bottom of my shoes were white.
Oh, there you go.
White belt rocked. It was just a bunch of haters at Media Day.
Well, it's not a bunch
Matt
of haters.
Thomas, Matt Thomas,
yeah, you know what I say? It's Matt Thomas. It's not everybody. Hater. It's Matt. Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to pick on him here. But yeah. I'm curious your thoughts. What resonated most with you in terms of what you heard, what you saw walking around? I'll start with what stood out with me, and it was actually something, a theme I heard a few times from Mike D'Antoni discussing the journey, and he said that it was going to be a theme for them and their team dinner that night, basically leading off training camp. And what I mean by that, Craig, is an appreciation for the 82-game grind, because so much throughout sports history, including here in Houston, when you have these near-miss seasons like last year, you have a ton of talk about how, okay, we're going to kick in the door, kind of the Bum Phillips speech with the Oilers all the way back from the 70s. I'm sure a lot of longtime Houston sports fans will remember that. But what ends up happening in a lot of those is that there's so much of a fixation on getting back to, in this case, the Western Conference Finals, Game 7, that you don't have the focus for the full grind, everything that made you in a position to host that Game 7 that you had a year ago. And so I really liked that Mike D'Antoni seemed to be aware of that, acknowledging it, and putting an emphasis on that as the year starts. Because to me, that's the fine line for the Rockets to walk. Yes, you want to finish what you couldn't a year ago against the Warriors, but also what put you so close to doing so before Chris Paul's hamstring injury was the fact that you won 65 games. You were so dominant that you had a leverage position in the playoffs, having the one seed, home court advantage throughout, weaker opponents the first couple of rounds, those types of things. At least on paper, they should have been weaker. And for all the focus on the Warriors, the Rockets need that same focus over 82 that they had a year ago if they're going to replicate what they had prior to Chris Paul's hamstring injury. So it seemed like D'Antoni is acutely aware of that and making an emphasis from day one. To me, that's a good sign. That's something that stood out. Curious if you kind of felt the same way or what else you saw on Monday that stood out.
Well, to me, I thought the money quote of media day was when Carmelo was talking about his relationship with Mike and how it's evolved, as has the game and as has each man since their time together in New York. And he was very candid about it, how it just ultimately wasn't the right place, right time for either one of them. And perhaps some of the pressures of being in New York got the best of them in that regard. But anybody who thought that relationship was going to be a hindrance to either one of them moving forward, I think that was sort of kiboshed right off the bat. And I guess what I was talking about with guys to watch, I mean, look, I think the story of this team, at least early in the season, you know, last year the story was, can Chris and James, there's enough right. basketballs to go around, you know, between the two, blah, 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 blah. That notion was dispelled quickly. So I think the story is, again, whether Carmelo, for me personally, whether he starts or comes off the bench is inconsequential. I still get the sense that he wants to start, but to me, it's inconsequential. If the communication lines are open, as I said earlier, great. And if he's willing to come off the bench, great. But that relationship and Carmelo's level of success with this team, and I think ultimately kind of getting to the point you talked about the journey, it's part of that journey. How does he fit in terms of the team's defensive identity, which I kind of referenced a little bit earlier. I'm very curious to see how that ultimately works. And then two, is Carmelo willing and able to change his shot profile
yep.
for this team, which he was unwilling to do in New York. And I think he was also at the time unwilling to play the four, which is what Mike wanted him to do. But I think as Carmelo's gotten older, and again, the game's changed along with that, he understands that his spot now in this league is as a four-man and not a three. Can his shot profile change along with it? The Rockets, this is a misnomer. The Rockets are perfectly fine with players taking mid-range jump shots. The problem is there's probably only five of them in the league that they would trust doing so. Chris Paul is one of them, right? I mean, Chris Paul and Kevin Durant are two of the best mid-range shooters in the history of the sport. If they had Kevin Durant on this team, they would feel comfortable with him taking mid-range shots because they're so good at it. But the thing they don't like about that is that most guys are terrible doing so. So you might as well step back 2 feet, right, and take a three. And so can Carmelo's shot profile change with his role with this team? I think that is going to be super intriguing to keep an eye on. Chris Paul's shot profile, even though he was the Rockets' most heavy mid-range shooter last year, changed with the team. And I think when you have an organization where that particular philosophy is so ingrained from ownership to management to head coach to your star level players, I think that's going to have a pretty positive effect on Carmelo Anthony in terms of him having a positive shot profile for this team, because I think he's going to get a ton of open looks. And if he takes the right shots, the shots that this team not only talks about, but they back up with data and numbers to show him right in front of his face, if he is able to change his game in that regard, as I said earlier, I think he's going to fit. He's going to fit great. So to me, the relationship between those two, the roles of those two guys, where Carmelo fits in at both ends of the floor, is going to be the most intriguing thing for me to keep an eye on in the first month to 2 months of not only the preseason, but the regular season. And my hope is that it is something that's not even we're not even talking about this, not just a month from now, but 2 weeks from now, when we get some preseason games, they get some preseason games under their belt, that all this stuff is already basically taken care of, as we saw right off the jump last year with Chris and James and the sharing of the ball and so on and so forth. I think Carmelo might be the most important piece to this team this year and how he adapts to the Rockets' general philosophy. But I think it might be easier for him to do it here and now than at any other point mm-hmm. in his career, because of the point that I made, that the philosophy is so ingrained and so much part of the culture here that I think that I think it ultimately will be an easy transition for him, or at least I hope that's the case.
Yeah, the last item I wanted to get to, another name at the forward spot, PJ Tucker. I know you have an appreciation for him being around the team as much as you are. One thing that really stood out to me Monday, you had so many folks. Chris Paul had the reference to the new additions. If anyone thinks they're going to walk in here and not play defense, Tuck's got another thing coming. We heard from Mike D'Antoni that he thinks PJ Tucker is one of the best players in the league. And yet on Twitter and throughout the NBA community, it seems every week there's a star available. This week, you know, it's the Jimmy Butler trade rumors. You see people who look at his stat line, his contract. He's often as just a throw-in. And to me, there is a big discrepancy in the way the majority of the NBA community views PJ Tucker, or at least the fan community, I should say, and how the Rockets view him. And to me, you know, those of us around the team, we saw it last year, but you can make the argument that even relative to Ariza and Luke Bamute, Tucker was the glue guy. He was the culture guy in terms of the defensive tenacity. And so when you hear the words from guys like Mike D'Antoni and Chris Paul on Monday, it shows you that while, yeah, he may average just 6-7 points a game, whatever it may be, on a very not sexy shooting percentage, they view him very much in that core. And so be it Jimmy Butler or anyone else, I don't think they're going to be throwing PJ Tucker into anything. To me, they view him as a core piece. That's something that stood out to me Monday. Just curious your take as someone who's around them really as much as any of us from the media side.
Well, I agree. And I think that he's already taking and will take a larger role now with Trevor Ariza gone. Now, that's part of what made Trevor so special for this team. And frankly, they're going to miss. A lot of the media narrative, of course, in the summer is that the Rockets lost both Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan and Luke Bamute and Trevor Ariza. I don't think anybody's confusing Michael and Scottie with Trevor and Luke. And look, Luke was the Rockets' best perimeter defender all regular season last year until the second shoulder dislocation in L.A. And then, unfortunately, he was a non-factor in the playoffs, but they still were able to soldier on without him. But Trevor Ariza is a leader in that locker room. He's one of the most respected guys in the league, and they're going to miss that. And I think PJ is certainly of that ilk, and with now Trevor playing in Phoenix, I think PJ is going to have to take on a little bit more of that role. But every team needs that, you know, that Mario Ellie on their roster, and that's PJ Tucker. And there are how many players in the league can match up with Draymond Green? Two, PJ Tucker and a healthy Paul Millsap. So PJ is so important for that matchup against Golden State, and it doesn't really matter how much he scores or what he does. The toughness, the tenacity, the basketball IQ is in the right places. You can play him in three different spots. He can guard all kinds of players. Even though he's not very tall, he's got very long arms. He's obviously strong enough to defend fives. He's not afraid of anything. And yeah, he's the enforcer that this team needs. And going to need even more so now that Trevor Ariza's not around, and Nene's role, I think, is going to be ultimately reduced even more than it was last season. Yeah, I think he absolutely is considered a part of their core and is a big part of what they want to do this season. That's why when the Rockets finally got him last year, I had been talking, obviously I can't do this kind of stuff on the record about players with other teams, but I always thought he would be like the perfect fit for the Rockets. Now, I wish he was like 28, you know, and not in his early 30s, but it is what it is. I've always felt he would fit right in here with this organization. He did like a glove last year, and he will be a big part of this team's success this season moving forward for a variety of reasons.
That's Craig Ackerman, voice of the Rockets. Catch him throughout the season on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest and the Rockets Radio Network, and you can follow him on Twitter at @CA_Rockets. Craig, thanks so much for the time, and I'll see you next week at Toyota Center.
Yeah, anytime, Ben. I'm glad the season's finally getting going, and I can't believe I was able to string together three sentences coherently after not doing this for months, so hopefully I did okay.
You did quite well.
You're going to lose your touch after not talking like this for a while.
I can imagine. I took 10 days off for vacation last week, and yeah, that first podcast, it was like trying to learn to ride a bike again. But
yeah, you got to get that to those vocal cords warmed up a little bit, but I'm excited. I'm really excited to get back and see what this team can do off the heels of what was their third best season in franchise history last year.
Yep, looking forward to it. Craig, I'll see you next week. That's Craig Ackerman, again, voice of the Rockets, @CA_Rockets on Twitter, or AT&T Sportsnet Southwest and the Rockets Radio Network. Throughout the season, he'll be on the calls. That'll do it for today's show. It's a busy Wednesday with the Rockets' second day of training camp out in Lake Charles, getting ready for next Tuesday's preseason opener. As the beat rolls on over the next couple of days, we'll have more shows. But for today, I thought Craig put a nice little bow on everything, especially with his comments on Carmelo Anthony and what the narrative of the Rockets is, especially in the early going. So that's enough for one day. We'll leave it there, and we'll pick things back up tomorrow now that we're back in our regular daily format. If you want more content before then, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Also got a Facebook account, facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, and an email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com, a website, LockedOnRockets.com. Always, you can access our content, ask me questions about the team, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan, or even you, the human being. I would love to hear from you. Also, I do want to throw another shout out, one final one, to our awesome sponsors over at Vivid Seats. Remember, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and as a new customer, you can get $20 off any orders of $200 or more. Your first order, I should say. Also, if you haven't checked out other shows across our awesome Locked On Podcast Network, which means we have local shows covering things ranging from the NFL to college sports to Major League Baseball, please do. Here in Houston, that means Locked On Texans, and also nearby Locked On Aggies covering Texas A&M athletics. You can find them on a lot of the same platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn. Wherever you find Locked On Rockets, you can find those shows, and whichever your favorite shows are, subscribe. That's how you'll get shows right when they come out. And also leave us a 5-star review, because that's how we can make the business model work, because we look attractive to potential advertisers and keep this thing running as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball or the team of your choice. So for today, this is it. Once again, thanks to Craig Ackerman for joining us, and thanks to you guys for listening. This is Ben Dubose. You've been listening to Locked On Rockets, and stay tuned throughout the week as we continue our coverage of Rockets training camp leading into next week's preseason opener for the 2018-2019 season.